Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Tony Presley.
Some years ago in America, a prophet prophesied over me. His name was Bob Jones. He was, at that time, he was pretty big. And he said, God has placed a Phineas covenant on your life. And if you don't know about Phineas, read him in Numbers 25 when you get home. But he was a man who had a spear. So sometimes it's quite painful. But he saved the whole of Israel from dying because he speared a couple. And sometimes God calls me in my type of ministry to do a bit of spearing. Now, I wasn't going to say this, but I was sitting there this morning. God said, I want you to be bad. And I'm thinking, Lord, I've got a nice little message. God said, I want you to be bad. He said, I want you to be like a dentist today. He said, I want you to just push on a little nerve and a little nerve here and a little nerve there. And I'm thinking, Lord, I want to break the alabaster jar and do all nice things and perhaps wash Pastor Paul's feet. Oh, sorry. Well, I don't know that. But when Pastor Paul said last week, oh, Tony's teaching on giving, I'm thinking, oh, no. Because we've all been to meetings where they've taught on giving and tithing and stuff like that. And in the main, British people don't like to hear about giving. But God said, oh, that's okay. He said, tell them they're not British. They're kingdom. And I said, oh, Lord, that's great. Because British people said, well, you know, those Americans, the way they give, they're our brothers in God. And, I lived in the States for 6 years, thank God, and I saw how people give. And I'm gonna go over some things a bit later on. And talk about it, but I do want to press a few nerves. I don't want to do a boring sermon on giving, because you could go on for 10 weeks on giving. Yeah. I just want to say one thing. Giving is an act of worship. Yeah. And we had a great worship time Thursday night, didn't we? At the end there, I mean, it was just, man, it was just awesome. God was just, it was like a cloud. And God said to me, I want you to tell these people, I want you to just tell them that they're saying, how great is our God, how great is our... And God says, just tell them they're great. Because they are the Monets of God, that's the abiding places of God. I live in them. And he said, walk around as though you're great. I don't mean arrogant, I'm talking about you're great. Walk around as though you're a son. Walk around as though you're a king. We've got to walk around Scarborough as though we own the place. Because we do. Hallelujah. So this morning I'm going to be bad. Sorry and all that. Sorry, Pastor Paul. It might be my last time. We sung a chorus there at the end. And there was a word in there. It said, I'm secure. And I've found over the years, secure people give. And I'm going to show you a couple of videos on the wall about insecure people. So is that all right? This is very secular. Don't stone me or but this is quite secular, but I'll tell you where I'm going. Okay, Dan, can someone do the lights, please?
Hello, girls. So who have we got here?
I'm Lisa.
I'm Zoe.
And what's the name of the group?
The Stunners.
Oh. Girls, what's the ambition? What makes it different from everybody else outside?
We both have different voices, but when we come together, it does harmonise in the right places.
And which groups would you compare yourselves to? What artists or groups?
I compare myself to more like Mariah Carey or Whitney Houston.
Yeah, good. And you?
It's kind of Christina Aguilera / Justin Timberlake.
There's no short of confidence here, is there?
No.
Good for you. Okay, look, girls, right, okay, this is going to be the most important 2-3 minutes of your life, right? Concentrate, focus, and good luck. What are you going to sing?
I want to dance with somebody. Right.
Here we go, Stunners. Woo!
Tonight is the light of day and so
Look, girls, I can sort of understand how you two found each other, because it's rare to find two people as bad as you on the... No, but it is. Which in some ways should give you some comfort.
If you give us another chance, I'm sure we'll
do it again. No, but girls, with respect, you didn't sing a single note in tune. All right, we're going to vote. Louis?
Absolutely no from me.
No.
No, sorry.
It's a resounding no. Hi, welcome. Your name is... Okay, how old are you, Alan?
50.
Where are you from?
Wheely Castle.
Wheely Castle?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Northfield, that's just outside Birmingham. It's, you know the Bristol Road?
Yeah.
If you go straight down there,
yeah,
and go past Celio's Hospital,
yes,
past the big police station on your left,
yeah,
and just keep going through.
That's it. That one. Okay. Why did you enter the X Factor this year?
Well, I do a bit of karaoke, right, and some of the people I sing to says that I sing quite reasonable.
Okay. And what would you do if you won the competition?
I'd probably buy me council flat, you know.
All right, well, listen, best of luck. I really mean that.
All right, thanks, Simon. Right. No matter what they tell you, no matter what they do, no
matter... Alan, you are completely out of time with the song, because you came in so late.
Well, what it is, I was sort of timing myself in.
All right, okay.
Could you give me like a cue in? Or
well,
something?
I don't know when it's supposed to come in. Let's try one more time.
Hold on, can I just get my watch ready?
Yeah.
Can I get...
Yeah, you time it and then just give the cue.
Yeah. I'll cue him in, all right.
Okay.
Okay. No matter what they tell you, no matter what they say, no matter what they teach you, there's another way. I can't believe... no matter what they...
Alan, that was all over there. It was all over the place. How would that help me and you if you were in the live shows? You're going to need people with clocks, great big sheets of paper, and, you know, we just can't do that.
Wait, I see your point. It's not going to be a fat lot of help, is it?
All right, Danny, yes or no?
No.
Cheryl?
It's a no.
No.
It's a no. Thank you very much.
Ah, they're all going, oh. Sorry about that, but I just find it amazing that people put themselves up for this in front of millions and millions of people. Why do they do it? Oh, somebody said, you're reasonable at karaoke. And they put themselves, good people, decent people. But why do they do it? You see, there's a tendency in all of us to be wanted. We want to be wanted. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want somebody to say to us, you're good at that. You're accepted. See, sometimes you might join a gang, and a gang you're in, you're accepted. Or you might join the country club. You know, and I'm in the country club. Or you just might join another type of club. Or you might just earn lots of money and think, well, I'm accepted now because I'm earning $200,000 a year. Or I'll take all these exams so I can be really clever and I'll be accepted. See, there's a longing in all of us to want to be accepted and needed. And it's just a longing. And these poor people, well, I could show you hundreds of those. These poor people are sort of doing this stuff. And putting themselves up to be shot down. Because they're so desperate. See, these people aren't secure. I know a lot of people in the kingdom, over 30 years, I've seen a lot of insecure people. And God wants us to be secure. If we're secure, we'll give. So today, I don't want to do a teaching on giving. I've got scriptures and I've got scriptures coming out of my ears. This has got to be something different. Tell you why, because we are different. We're not some boring little church that does a little bit of teaching on giving. Acts 1:1, Jesus said, it says, he first began to do, then teach. When we start doing, then we earn the right to be able to teach. And I don't want to stand here this morning and bore you with about 1,000 scriptures. And I can back everything up that I say with scripture. That's not a problem. I will give you scriptures so you can write them down and you can look at them at home. My job is to challenge you to go and read it yourself. Not for me to give you all the information. Most of you are seasoned campaigners anyway. Didn't say you're old. See, they're not deterred from entering this competition, even though they're going to be laughed at, they're going to be ridiculed, they're going to be put on national television. They're not deterred from entering because there's such a need in everybody. See, being secure makes you give. The old enemies are always telling us how bad we are. There's a song, it's the enemy's national anthem. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good, baby, you're no good. Anybody know who sang that? We've been trying to work it out. And then I'll tell you again, you're no good. So the enemy keeps telling us, you're no good, you're no good, you won't make it, you're terrible, you're this, you're that. And we go, yeah, I'm a failure. God doesn't love me. I've been there. You know, I'm not saying this because you're bad. I've been there. And I've been at places where I've been so desperate and saying, God, I am useless. I'm a failure. I failed. He says, brilliant. Now you can help somebody else who's going to do that. Well, I've been divorced, Lord. Well, now you can help someone who's been divorced. Well, I've been a drug taker, Lord. Well, you can help someone who's trying to get off drugs. Can you see the point? It's like, yeah, we've all been failures. One time or another, you may be again. But guess what we've got? We've got security in God. Amen. So stop singing that song. You're no good. I heard a preacher say this once. He said, he was at a church in America and he offered anybody want $20. He got a $20 bill out. He said, who wants $20? Stampede! Everyone's running to the front to take his $20. He says, whoa, hang on a minute. He said, I want to tell you, this money's dirty. He says, it's been rolled up and they've smoked dope, smoked drugs in it. It's been used in a gentleman's club. Been put in, you know, a gentleman's club on it. It's been used for bribery. It's been used for cheating. It's used for stealing. It's dirty money. Do you still want it? Stampede. Yeah, they all wanted it. You know why? Because it's still worth $20. You might have been through some filth and junk and in your life, but guess what? The maker's name is still on you. You read a £20 note, it says, the Bank of England promises to pay the bearer 20 quid. Guess what? No matter what you've been through, the maker's name's still on you, and you're still worth what he says you're worth. Is that good? I thought that was excellent. What a great example, that. Because we all, at times, oh, we've been through this. No, the maker says what you're like. You've got to believe what he says you're like. Believe what he says you can do. I like that. Mark's quiet. Making you think. God says we're incredible, we're valuable, we're loved through Jesus. Now, one thing we don't have to do, we don't have to audition for Simon Cowell. But we do, but we do. We audition for this Simon Cowell in the sky. Because this morning, Lord, I've only read one chapter. And Lord, will I make it through the day? I've only prayed for 10 minutes. And we're auditioning for God every day. I'm talking to me now. Okay. But we're auditioning. Guess what? We won X Factor.
That's right.
We've got the X Factor. It's called the cross.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, when people say put a cross on a form, it's an X, but same deal. We got the cross. We won X Factor. We're already in. We're already chosen. We've already won. Is that good? I'm thinking, man, we won X Factor. I can't even sing. It's brilliant. Because we've got an audience of three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And guess what? They love us anyway. And they're never going to turn us down. They're never going to kick us out and ridicule us like that. He says, you're loved, you're cherished, you're wonderful. That sounds pretty good. It sounds a bit one-sided. Stop auditioning for God. Am I good enough? Have I done enough? Am I a hoop jumper? Do I keep jumping through hoops? Grace and mercy said, stop performing. You've already got it. Take it. It's good news. The only audience is God. The only thing is, you don't have to audition, but you have got to sing. Ephesians 2:10 says that you've got good works to do. So we've all got works to do. Oh, but I can't preach like Pastor Paul. Oh, and I can't do this like, and I can't do street angels like Brian. But we're all called to do something. I don't care if you make the tea. Just as important as standing up here. I don't care if you do the car park at Lamploo. Just as important. See, God don't say, oh, well, it's far more important to be in the pulpit. When you're in the pulpit, that's where you get all the bombs. That's where, you know, if you knew some of the stuff we've been through, well, you might say, you don't know what I've been through. But you just said it. You've been through it.
That's good.
You've been through it.
Yeah. Okay.
Guess what? Memory is recalling the past. Imagination is pre-playing the future. Let's get imaginative. Let's stop to memory. Get rid of that stinking memory, because you don't know what I've been through. I could tell you some stuff we've been through. Pastor Paul could do the same. Many of you could do the same. Been through hell and back. But I've been through it. And I'm not there anymore. And I'm not going there. And it's got rid of. Because I want to feel secure in God. I am secure in God. I'm going to be bad. God said I could be bad. See, I watch football. All right, Lynn hates that, but when they sit on the substitutes bench, they don't play necessarily, and it's like many people in the kingdom sit on the substitutes bench and say, I'm not playing in this game because they don't use me and they don't let me do this, and I'll stay on the substitutes bench. God says, no, I've got something for everyone to do. Everybody's got something to do. Nobody's disqualified. We've all got a part to play. And I'm looking forward to next week at Lamploo. I think it's far too small over there for when we have these deals. But that's why we want a building. That's why we want to talk on giving. Because the best time to talk on giving is when you ain't got anything. Because that's faith. Is that right, Chris? Talking about Peterborough, yeah. That's what they did. They called the money in. And we're going to call the money in. I heard Benny in the other day. He said some years ago he got desperate and he owed $10 million because of the TV stations and what it was costing him to run. And he was $10 million in debt. And he was real desperate. And he went to Oral Roberts, and said, Doc, because he used to go, he said, I'm in real trouble. I don't know which way to turn. And he says, give me 10 seconds on your program. 10 seconds? He says, yeah. He got on the program. He says, Benny Hinn's in trouble. He needs money. Thank you. Just like that, 10 seconds. And Benny Hinn was getting phone call after phone call after phone call. People who weren't saved were saying, we don't like you and we don't go to church, but you're in trouble, so we're going to give you money. So money, this 10 million just came in just like that. And I'm thinking, wow, even the world, I don't care where it comes from. When I first got saved, I used to have my pastor around my house who taught me on tithing. And I said to him, Phil, if I win the football pools, I'm going to buy you a house. Well, I'd have to refuse it, brother. And I thought that's pretty strange. See, from an unsaved person just getting saved, I thought that was pretty weird. See, it took them 4 years to get me into bondage. I wasn't in bondage before I got saved. But in those 4 years, they got me in bondage, wife wearing a hat, cover your TV over on a Sunday, can't buy anything on a Sunday. And all this, and I'm thinking, Lord, this can't be right. And I saw the young pastor in our church. He was living in this grotty flat, black fungus on the walls, and they just had a new baby in this horrible flat. In those days, they had nappies they had to wash. And she couldn't dry them. So God said to me, I want you to buy him a tumble dryer. I looked in my bank account. There was £111 in there. And this tumble dryer was 86 quid. I'm going back to 1980, 81. We had £111 in the bank, and he says, I want you to buy a tumble dryer. My wife said, but I've always wanted a tumble dryer. Nope, got to do it. Got this tumble dryer, put it on his doorstep. And I found out very quickly that God pours it in, so we better pour it out. So you look at a river, it's quite fresh because it flows in, flows out. You get a lake that nothing flows in, nothing flows out, it goes stagnant. And God hates stingy people. I will never give to anybody who's stingy. I want to give to a giver because they'll pass it on and pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. But I said to this pastor, I said, nobody puts much in the bag, do they? And he taught me for a few weeks on tithing. I said, but I can't afford it. I can't afford it. But, you know, that's 10% of my income. 10% of my income. Wow, you know, I'm stretching it now. And God said to me, hang on a minute, you're doing all your finances, mortgage, bills, kids' clothes, this car, tithe. He said, hang on a minute, put the tithe at the top. He said, and everything else would just fall into line. And once I learned about it, I found it really easy to do. I thought, well, it's not like there's an option. I better do it. And I caught the giving thing pretty quick. And I thought, yeah, God's never seen me begging bread. When Lynn and I got together 20 years ago, I gave my house away, gave everything away. I had about two suitcases full of clothes. That's all I had. And I was putting a credit card in the wall to get money out to pay the credit card and the bills. You know, it was tough. Within 1 year of moving jobs, I was managing director of a company earning $120,000 a year. And people say, but why is God blessing you? There's a little thing called a seed that you sow. And I want to tell you today, the seeds that we sow, expect a harvest. Yes. Expect a harvest. Don't put a seed in grudgingly and say, well, I can't really afford this. Sow that seed in saying, I'm going to see a harvest. Yes. Within 1 year, Lynn will tell you, in 1 year I was managing director of a company. And it was absolutely awesome. When I got into this job, I didn't even want the stinking job. I said, why did I take this one? I was offered five jobs. I get in there 2 days, they're all Christians. They have a Bible study before they start work in the morning. And I'm thinking, Lord, why don't I start to listen a bit more? And God just nudged me and just nudged me, and I got into the right place, and we were able to do what we did. But never found it hard to give. Very hard when I got together with Lynn, because Lynn was an accountancy manager who was very frugal. So she was sort of out left field, I'm out right field, I'm wanting to give it all away, Lynn's wanting to look after it. So it's been quite tough over the years to get the balance in the middle. Because she's the frugal one and I'm the sort of, well, easy come, easy go. God will provide. See, we're talking about a new building, aren't we? And we're having a new building. But God said it's not going to be a cruise liner. We ain't building no cruise liner. We're building a lifeboat station. Because he said, I'm going to be sending lifeboats out. Lifeboats. There's three types of lifeboat. There's an inland lifeboat. There's an inshore. And then there's an offshore. Well, the inland goes into the rivers and lakes. And the offshore just goes pretty shallow. But the offshore one goes real deep. Guess what? It's all manned by volunteers normally. Total commitment. And bad weather. But that's what God said to me. He said, this ain't going to be no cruise liner. We ain't got no jacuzzi in the pastor's office. Sorry, man. But we'll get one at your garden. But this is going to be lifeboats. There's people dying in this town, in this area, and going to hell. And guess what? We've got to do something about it. There's one big problem in this country especially, is you can't do it without money. Can't do it without money. In the States, it's a lot different because people are trained to give. We were with a guy in California, and he preached this message this night. We were with him, and he got a love offering at night of $40,000. And a guy came up to him in that service. We were with him, and he said, God's told me to buy you a car. What's your favorite car? He said, a Jaguar. He said, okay, what color do you want? $90,000 Jaguar, delivered next week. See, this is the mentality of, well, these Americans. Now, Americans know how to give. I didn't say they got it all right. They haven't. But when they build a building, when they build a church, what they do it palatially because it's for king. It's for a king. It ain't for some small god, some little Buddha who's going to sit there. This is for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hey, I think we ought to do it well, don't you?
Yes.
I think we ought to do it well because the world out there have seen that the God in this country is pretty small. He wasn't when they were building York Minster and Westminster Abbey and everything else. He was a big God. But now God's got very small. And people out there saying, well, we don't want to go to church. Paul Scanlon at Abundant Life, sorry, Paul, he took a survey a few weeks ago around Bradford, and they went out on the street and they said, look, we want to know, have you ever been invited to church? And the people, 90% of the people said, no. So the next question was, if you were invited, would you come? And 60% said yes. And I'm thinking, man, this is the UK. This is the UK, and 60% of people, in not a very nice city, is it, Bradford? They said, if we were invited, yeah, we would come. But see, we've got to have somewhere to invite them to. You can't invite someone round for a meal if you ain't got a house. In your case, Mark. We need a home, don't we? Not because we want to show it off or be a cruise liner. We've got to start sending lifeboats out from it. This is going to be a place of... Right, Brian? Shower room. God doesn't have any unwanted kids or stepchildren. God's kids take risks. See, God don't make a mistake. But I've noticed one thing about this X Factor. Whenever they win X Factor, they say, what are you going to do? You've got a £1 million contract. I'm going to buy Mum and Dad a house. Hey, guys, we just won X Factor.
Woo!
We're going to get Daddy a house. Daddy's name's going to be on our house. And who's going to give? We got to give. We got to give. This ain't no nice little teaching on giving. I'm telling you, this is God speaking to our spirit. And I want God to speak to me. My offering's going to have at least 3 noughts in it. That's not because aren't I great. Hey, we're earning less money now than we've earned in 20 years. But I just feel God's touching my spirit. And I'm praying this morning that this little spear is going to be touching your spirit. God don't want you to get into debt and get, you know, you want to give £1 million and you've only got 10 quid. God doesn't want you to be stupid. But we can all do things that, well, I can't. No, the word is I won't. I say that to Lynn. Lynn says, I can't. I say, you won't. The word is won't, not can't. And she goes, giving it all away. She says, I can't. But the word is won't. And that's how we are, really, in the kingdom of God. We love all the, bless me, bless me, bless me. I'll come to church if you bless me. It's prostitution. See, people go out on a Friday and Saturday night, and they pay to be loved. You know, we want to be loved by God, and I'll just put a little tip in the offering. There's my little 10%. You know, Joseph, in Egypt, when he got the Egyptians, he said, there's going to be 7 good years, 7 bad years. Joseph got the Egyptians tithing 20%. But we'll just give God 10%. We'll just whack 10% in. God says, it's all mine anyway. And I'm allowing you to keep 90%. That's when you start to give. Tithing is not giving. Tithing is paying your rent. Giving is giving after that. Lynn has got on my case a little bit over the years because I said, oh, I want to bless this. I want to do this. And Lynn said... I said, Lynn, we're doing it unto Jesus. Whatever we do unto Jesus. And there have been times, like when my son got married, we took him to America, paid for his honeymoon, paid for his airfares, put him in a suite. Then we gave him this house, we paid the deposit, we paid the solicitor's fees. He had no expense to get into this property, and we paid his mortgage for the first year. You know, Lynn didn't say a word. Now, coming from an accountancy person, that was really good. But we did it unto Christ. Give, give. Give, and it will be given. You know, we serve a God who gave. He's an who gave God. But the word really, if you look at it in the Greek, says he gave, is giving, and will give. So we're just going to give. I'll put my tip in on Sunday. There you are. Aren't I good? Put my 10% in. Well, you just paid your rent. Now we're going to start to give and give to one another and give to various. We want to see the kingdom of God explode in this place, don't we? Unfortunately, if God's called you here, now you know today, if God's called you to be in this body, He's called you to give. And I'm thinking, man, this is, you know, we could have just been in Bradford, Lynn. You know, we could have just been, you know, been entertained and it was nice. People getting saved. Wonderful. But I think God's called us to be part of this family. Shame for Pastor Paul, but... I will go to a scripture just to keep it, you know, godly. Can you turn to 1 Chronicles 29? See, I keep hearing things. And when I first got saved, there was a saying, like, we're going to rebuild the tabernacle of David. Have you all heard that? Did you hear it years ago when you got saved? Rebuild the tabernacle of David. And it all sounded very grand. And I used to study it. And I used to think, oh, this is wonderful. Rebuild the tabernacle of David. And then you actually see what David gave. 1 Chronicles 29. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great. Because this palatial structure is not for man but for God, with all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood, onyx, and all kinds of fine stones and marble, all these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures." He ain't just giving his tithe. He's now giving his personal treasures. "Over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple, 3,000 talents of gold." Talent of gold, I think, weighed 75 pounds. Morning. 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the building, for the gold work, the silver work, for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Craftsmen! Are you here? Craftsmen. Oh, but I'm not. I can't. You're a craftsman. If you've God's brought you into this place, you're a craftsman, and there's a job for you to do. I can't do what you do. You may not be able to do what I do. I don't want you spearing anyone. But we're craftsmen, and God needs craftsmen to get this built. Right, Graham? "Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" And we all know what consecrate means. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. See, there is a scripture that everybody preaches out of to do with giving in Malachi 3. And I've got it down there, Malachi 3. "If you know, test me in this," he said. Are you robbing God? Are you robbing God? Are you robbing... But God, you're robbing me. He said, "Test me and see if I'll not open a window in heaven and pour out." Now, this in the Hebrew, this doesn't mean what you think it means. It means, "Oh, my mortgage's payment is due, Lord," and he puts a big check and it floats down. It don't mean that. It means there's a portal that's opening. And it opens three times a year in the Jewish calendar. It's like there's three feasts that are important. There's the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And let me tell you, the Feast of the Passover is the 29th of March. Really interesting. Very interesting. Where a portal will open for the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. And I'm thinking, man, you know, this Malachi thing, everybody thinks, oh, yeah, God's going to open a window. And how about you giving $58 today for 12 months? I'm trying to paraphrase what they do on some channels, where they ask you for $58 a month for 12 months, and then God will bless you, and God will heal you, and God will do this, and God... I don't want to give because I want. I want to give because I love Him. Kate made a statement 2 weeks ago. She said, "Are you workers who love, or are you lovers who work?" I'm a lover. Stop looking at me strange, Lynn. I want to be a lover that works. You know, there's things we've got to do in this building. It's going to be hard work. You know, I'm getting on a bit. But, you know, God renews my spirit like the eagles. When you look down in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, it says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." See, it all comes from God anyway. God allows you to work. God allows you to make money. God allows it. It comes from your hand and all of it belongs to you. In verse 9, it says here, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. There's a church in Nottingham called, what's it called, Lynn? Can't remember, doesn't matter. They just built a new building, £5 million, they're debt-free, completely debt-free. And his leaders, they gave £2.2 million. And I would assume it would be the same down in Horsham. I don't know. But this is what happens. When people see leadership doing something, they go, wow, if they can do it, we're going to do it. And it's just a question of, do you want to follow a wimp? Or do you want to follow somebody who's really serving the kingdom? I'll serve a wimp, thank you. Because it's comfortable. I'll be on my cruise ship, thank you. It's comfortable. I get fed 18 times a day and there's a swimming pool and a jacuzzi and, oh, it's so comfortable on that cruise ship. No, no. You get out in that lifeboat at the offshore. They're out there. You know, you were out there Friday night pouring the rain, weren't you? You know, you're out there. You're out there at night. I think you were out last night, weren't you, Paul? You know, they're out there at night. They're out in the offshore boats. It's already being done. But I tell you, the bigger the building we get, the more people we're going to get, the bigger it's going to get. I told Brian he's going to have 200 people in those street angels. He's going to have 200 street angels. I'm prophesying that. There's 200 street. You're going to have that. You're going to be so busy. If you're not already, you won't have time to go to work. Well, you don't now. You don't have time now, so. God, you're so good. In Deuteronomy 12, if you want to write this down, I'm not going there. Verse 4 to 14, it tells you what to give. What to give. You know, and I want us to talk to God and say, God, what would you have me to give? But you say, well, God don't speak to me. And I heard somebody say yesterday, they were talking about God speaking here. In the first 2,083 years, God spoke to four people. He doesn't make a habit of it, but he lives in us. We've got the Holy Spirit. They didn't have in those first 2,083 years. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. We've got the Holy Spirit living in us, God talking to us. But it's like this. In Acts 22, Paul was on the Damascus Road, and a great light and a great flash of light, and he got knocked off his horse. You all know the story. And it said that his companions saw the light, but only Paul heard the voice. You know why only Paul heard the voice? Because he wanted to. Jesus had three disciples with him all the time. Say, so, well, he had a clique. Why were they with him all the time? Because they wanted to be. Because they wanted to be. They couldn't be anywhere else. They just wanted to be at his feet. But there's a statement in Mark 14:25, I think it is, where they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, come pray with me. Took his three, took his inner circle. Pray with me. And they were tired. And it said, Jesus went a little farther. He just went a little farther. And God's asking us to go a little farther than we've ever gone before. We've all given before in some way, shape or form. But he says, I want you to go a little farther. Because that's what Christ did. And that's what Christ did for us. God gave him as a ransom for us. Man, how can we not do what he wants us to do? You know, I heard this, obedience, an ounce of obedience is worth a ton of prayer. An ounce of obedience is worth a ton of prayer. And I'm thinking, yeah, we're all getting into this praying, and I've prayed for 18 hours today, brother. Yeah. Did God hear any of it? If you're a stingy person, he don't even hear your prayers. You think I'm blaspheming, read it. It's all in Proverbs and in the Old Testament. God says, I'm not going to listen to your prayers if you're stingy. We're a people that we've got to get together. We've got to get the finances together. There's money to be used. And we've got to build this new building. I don't mean a new building. I mean we've got to kit this building out that's going to be good enough for God. Because when you read about the first temple that they built, it must have been absolutely awesome. It was absolutely wonderful. We're not wanting gold inlaid on everything. It would be nice, but what we do want, we want God to show up. We want to say, God, you're welcome. Look what we're doing for the kingdom. You're welcome, Lord. And God says, I'll show up to that. Because you're singing about me, you're loving me, you're putting your hand in your pocket, you're making sacrifices. And because God just wanted the people in the Old Testament to make sacrifices to him, and that's what they did. Why do you think they made a golden calf? I was thinking about this morning. Why didn't the children of Israel, why didn't they make a golden Moses? Because, you know, people do worship men, don't they? Brother. No. Why didn't they make a golden Moses? They made a golden calf. Because what's in their DNA is to, you know, the calf, the lamb, and the sacrifice. It's all sacrifice. That was in their DNA. Well, we're spiritual Jews. We've got the X factor. We've already won. We don't need to audition. We don't need to go through hoops. But you don't know what I've been through, brother. Yeah, you've been through it. Great. Now we're going somewhere else. We're going somewhere different. We're going somewhere where God wants us to go. And we ain't got time for hang-ups. We ain't got time for stuff that's going to hold us back. Because, you know, we've got to run this race. You don't see these athletes with a 50-pound weight on their back, only when they're training. But when they're running, boy, they're running. You've not got to audition anymore, but you have got to sing. Sorry, no, that. You have got to sing. We're going to kick up a storm in Scarborough. It's already started. Because there is favour. You know, Paul, you have got unstoppable favour. Unstoppable favour. And favour is the currency that God uses to build the kingdom. Favour is that currency. You've got unstoppable favour. Seriously. You know that anyway, but it's going to be unstoppable. I'm just praying that this last offering will be on the 28th of March. And if you believe this Jewish stuff, I mean, Richard might know more than me. On the 29th of March is when the portal opens. And I just, you know, hope that God's just going to, whatever we give, I just believe money's going to be coming in. And I don't care where it comes from. It can be dirty money. I don't mean we want any drug dealers to, you know, but you know what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. When that pastor said to me, well, I'd have to refuse that house, brother, if you won it on the football pools. Yeah, I wouldn't mind those people who won 56 million in a lottery coming in and being part of our church. We don't care where it comes from. It's all God's. There's no money ever left this world, ever. So, I know that wasn't a nice little teaching, Paul. I'm very sorry, but what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to spear. And I'm trying to say, come on, guys, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? There was another scripture I must read because it talks about the people. I must find this scripture. Sorry and all that, but this I think is important. In Ezra 3:1, it talks about they gave as one man. They gave as one man. Now, I'm not just an Old Testament preacher. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 and 4, it talks about the grace of giving. Set aside a sum of money that you're going to put in. Talk to God. Say, God, I want to be obedient. What would you have me to give? You know my situation, Lord. You wouldn't cause me to do anything stupid, but you know my situation, and you know what I can give. And I'm praying that God's going to touch our hearts and our pocketbook, I think I'm in America, going to touch our wallets, and he's going to speak to us about what we need to sow into this, because we've got a lot of money to find, right, Paul? There's a lot of money to find. In Deuteronomy 28, it talks about blessing and cursing. See, if you don't give what you can give, you can be cursed. Oh, brother, we don't want to hear that. Well, go and read it then. But that's Old Testament, brother. We have the New Covenant. Yeah, well, God's the same yesterday, today and forever, is he? He don't change. There's nothing new under the sun. But brother, you know, I don't want to hear about this cursing. Well, just put the money in and be blessed. But I only come to church to be blessed. God, if God just blesses us abundantly, we're still here, aren't we? You know, God showed up on Thursday night. I think God was interested. When we're saying, "Our great is our God," he says, "Oh, I like this. I really like this. I really like you singing that." And guess what? He shows up. But you know, when you put that money in the bag, God shows up as well. He says, "God, I love that act of worship. You're giving to me." Well, the widow only put two mites in. But she got a mention, and the other guy, the Pharisee, didn't really get a mention. And he was rattling his money around the box. She just put her two mites in, because that's all she had. So it doesn't matter what you give, but we've got to get some money together. We had a seed offering, didn't we, November time? This one is the real deal. 3 weeks, yeah? Next Sunday, the Sunday after, and the Sunday after that. And if you can't give now, put a pledge in. We pledged to Bradford when they were doing their special offering. We put our pledge in, and they called it in. They said, "Okay, we need the money now." A few months later, they called the money in when they needed it. So if you can't give it now, pledge. If God speaks to your heart to pledge, pledge some money. You know, all these people, and they're all giving $58 for 12 months because they're going to get 58 miracles, 58 healings, and all this. I'm not decrying people who give. It's good for people to give. But don't go giving Benny Hinn $1,000 when your local church needs it. It's very good to give. But your local church is the storehouse that you bring your money in. This is the local. If God put you here, if this is your home, then this is your storehouse. If you want to give Benny Hinn $1,000 after that, that's great. Bless him. I think he's a good man. But this is where the storehouse needs the money. So let me just pray for you this morning. I want to pray that God's going to speak to us all individually and show us exactly what we need to give. And I hate preaching on giving, but it is a big part of what we do. We don't get paid by the Anglican Church Central Fund. Paul's not got a manse from the Anglican Church. We support our leaders. We support the church. We support ourselves. We are a charity. And we would love for Richard to sort of be so overwhelmed with the amount of offerings you've got to count. Father, I hope I haven't been too bad this morning. I know you sort of released me to sort of get the spear out, but Lord, I also love these people as well. So, God, we want to do something different for you. We don't want to do the same old, same old, same old, and build a silly little church that touches nobody. We want to build something, Lord, that's going to last, that's going to be passed down to the next generations, that, Father, that the people in the world see that God is a big God. And, Father, we want to be a people where if they broke us in half, that your name would be on each half, that your DNA would run straight through us, Lord, that we are a part of you. You gave, Lord, and you gave your best. How dare we not give our best for you? So I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you would take them into that special place, that quiet place, and you would speak to their hearts and speak to my heart, Lord, that we would be able to do what you'd have us to do. I release a prophetic anointing over this body right now that says we are calling money in. I prophesy into the realm, into the air, and say, money is coming in. You will not stop it. Nothing will stop it because God wants this to work. And we prophesy over this whole area that the council would support us, that businesses would support us, that people would be coming in. We've got a doctor. We want more doctors. We want surgeons. We want company directors. We want people of that ilk who are able to give, Lord. In Jesus' name. One final story, and I'll let Paul jump up. I was in Benny Hinn's church some years ago, probably 18 years ago. And on a Sunday, it was a Sunday night. And Benny got up and said, "There's a Russian pastor in the meeting, and he's come here, and we don't know why he's here." So he got the guy up on the platform, couldn't speak English. He got somebody out of the congregation who could speak fluent Russian. Got everybody in there. And he said, why are you here? And the guy says, well, God's told me to come over. I need money to build a big new church in Russia. Benny Hinn took off his Rolex, $20,000. Took off his gold bracelet, took off his rings, diamonds, necklaces. He said, well, there's 100 grand to be going on with. And then the people were just coming up. Jewelry, money. They were just, the bins were just going around. It was absolutely full. He got all the gold. He said to a guy in the church, he said, you're a gold bullion dealer. He says, yeah. He said, I want you to sell all this for top price and give the money to this guy. That guy got enough to go back and build this massive church in Russia. See, I've seen giving like that. I love to see it in England. I want to see it in England. You know, an American preacher came to this country last year, and they took a love offering for him, did the conference, and his offering was £54,000 in this country. So some people in this country have caught the giving thing. You know, and I don't want to be left behind, do you? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.